Well, friends, I hope you're doing great. We are going to dive right into this episode of Narrative Society and just want to give a shout out again, man. I love this space. I love the community here. I'm so grateful for you taking time to lean in and listen to this conversation. And today I want to talk about prayer. A handful of weeks ago, I shared part one of this thought around prayer, and simply it was this idea. And Jesus shares this, that we must shut the door and pray to our Father in heaven. This idea that, man, there is so much noise in the world, and we need to have the ability to shut the door, go to the secret place, and pray to our Father in heaven. We're not praying to a genie in a bottle. We're not praying to Santa Claus with the good or the bad list. No, we are praying to our Father in heaven. And therefore, you can be completely honest with God. Like, you don't have to hold anything back, but you can come with full transparency of, God, this is where I'm at, and build that deep friendship, that deep love in the secret place. And I want to continue on in the conversation. I really around this idea found in Psalm 46, and it says this in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God, and I'll be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't read Psalm 46, you need to go through. It's one of my favorite psalms, and use it as a springboard for prayer, and it's so beautiful. But I really want to get around this simple idea of be still and remember who God is. Be still and remember who God is. I have learned in marriage, plain and simply, I have to make time to be with my wife. I have to put on my calendar when date nights are going to happen. And back in the beautiful pre-kids days, it was easy to do. It was just like, hey, we got some time on the calendar. Let's go out and have a date. Like, let's go hit the town, spend some money. Pre-kids, it was an easy thing to go on a date. Now, I've learned with having a couple little kids now, it's a little bit more difficult to go on a date because it takes some intentionality to go on a date. We got to make sure we can find babysitters. And I got to be honest with you, man, babysitter, the game of the babysitter world is a competitive thing because you got a bunch of friends who have other babies and those babies need to have babysitters. And so it's like this whole ecosystem that I just wasn't fully mentally prepared for stepping into it. But we've got a handful of babysitters on deck, and you got to plan, make sure they're available, and then you got to think about. All right, there's financial costs associated to the date night. You got to pay for the babysitter, then you got to go out on the date, spend the money, do the thing, and have intentional time to be with my wife. But you got to put something on the calendar to be with my wife. Now imagine if I were to go on a date with my wife. I've taken the time, found a babysitter, got the reservation, we've gone on the date, we have a great time on a date, and then we get in the car after the date and we say nothing. Then we go back to our house and we still say nothing. We go to bed, we say nothing to each other. Wake up in the morning, don't say anything to each other. I go to work, I have conversations with my friends, I come home, but I don't say anything to Taylor. I go to bed, I wake up the next morning, I don't say anything to Taylor again. I go to my work, I don't text Taylor. Like, imagine just no communication. Then the following week, and just imagine no communication. And then I go on a date again with Taylor, and I sit down with her. I've got the babysitter. We go on a date. We're dressed up. We get the reservation. We go on a date. And then I say, man, how was this past week for you? How was everything that transpired? Tell me about your life. And imagine if that was the habit of a relationship. Just the only communication would be on an intentional date night. And could I propose to you that this is how we often treat our relationship with God? We make the time to go to a church gathering on a Sunday or a youth service or college service or whatever it might be. We make the intentionality, we go, and then we go home and just live our life. We leave our Bibles off to the side collecting dust. We don't consciously make time to spend time with God throughout the day. We just go and live our life. And then we go to a church service the following Sunday. And could I just remind you that there is more on the table for you than this, that you can have daily conversations with God, that you can have minute by minute conversations with God. You can enjoy God's presence with you as you're driving your car. You can experience the presence of God with you while you're at your workplace, while you're at your college campus. I just want to cultivate within us. You don't just have to have a Sunday to Sunday relationship with God, but know you can experience the presence of God with you wherever you go, consciously being aware that, man, God, you are with me wherever I go. And I just want to invite us into this reminder, man, how often can you be still and remember God? How often can you be still and remember God? Practically, what does this look like? I have made it a practice in my life to quiet down the noise, particularly early in the morning. I wake up pretty early in the morning before sunrise and before the kids wake up in the morning because I want to have intentional moments every single day with God. It is not, my body doesn't necessarily want to wake up early, but I've just learned, like, if I don't make that special time to meet with God, it's not going to happen. And I think some of us, no matter what your chapter of life look like, just want to magically fall into this great depth of relationship with God. But I've just got to tell you, man, it takes planning, it takes intentionality, and you need to form your lifestyle, your hours, your habits around, man, I want to be still and remember who God is. Because when we do this, it shapes the whole perspective of the way in which we go about our life. That's why it's so important, man. I just want to encourage you, if you're a young man, make the practice now to get up early. Don't just sleep in till the very last minute of your day. Wake up, go to work, go to class, whatever it might be. I want to encourage you, man, make the intentionality of say, hey, God, I want to meet with you. That's why I'm going to set my alarm, man. You might need to set your alarm at 6 o'clock in the morning and get up and say, I'm going to spend from 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning in prayer and meeting with God. And I just believe there's more on the table for every single one of us. And if we just keep settling for a ho-hum relationship with God, just kind of like associated with a church gathering, I just believe like you're settling for second best, that God has more for you. And I just want to encourage you to be intentional with making time every single day to meet with God. Be still and remember who God is. So practically, okay, what does this look like? Being still and remembering God. Three words that I often use when it comes to this idea is you need to find a place, you need to change your pace, and you need to get the right perspective. I'll say it again. You need to create a place, you need to change your pace, and you need to get the right perspective. That's why we want to have specifically a quiet time in the morning with God, because it's starting your day off right, saying, God, I'm going to give you my first. I'm going to give you the first moments in the morning, rather than waking up and the first thing we do be going and scrolling on our phone. I've been so guilty of just waking up and just habitually reading my text messages, checking Instagram, and then just getting started with my day. But what? Imagine this. Imagine if rather than that, you wake up earlier in the morning. And I just want to encourage you, you can do this incrementally. Whatever your typical time to wake up is, I want to encourage you, wake up 15 minutes earlier. And then wake up 15 minutes earlier. And once you keep getting these small habits increase in your life, watch as you start to create, wow, I've gone from spending like a moment in the morning with God to now I'm spending 15 minutes. Now I'm spending 30 minutes. And as you start to feast and enjoy God's presence, you watch and experience, man, there's a greater hunger that cultivates in your life to spend more time in prayer, more time in God's presence, because you see the fruit all around you of like, man, I feel like I'm creating space and God is meeting me there. And so we want to find a place, we want to change our pace and get a perspective. And so here's practically what this looks like in my world. I have a seat in my house that I go and sit at every morning. Every morning I wake up and I go downstairs. I wake up before my family, before the sun is up. I go downstairs and I make a cup of coffee. Now, my typical play when I'm making this cup of coffee, it's I am excited to wake up in the morning and go grab that cup of coffee. While the coffee is being made, I open a psalm to read. And typically, I will use that psalm and I'll slow read through it for prayer. And so I will read through that psalm and I'll start just praying to God. And my whole goal of this time is to just let my affections go towards God. I'm trying to let God love me in this space. And so while the coffee is being made, I'm using a psalm as a springboard for prayer. And that doesn't normally take too long, just a handful of minutes. But I'm just using that as a way to cultivate that space in my soul. It's I'm praying the word. I'm not just praying thoughts that come into my mind, but I'm using the word of God as a springboard for prayer. I am then, once my coffee is made, I'm going to go and find a chair or somewhere that I have about three different places. Now that the weather's getting a bit warmer, I love to go and sit out on my front porch while it's just peace and quiet right now. And I want to be still and remember God. And what does this look like? I don't have my phone on me. All I have is me, my chair, and my coffee and the presence of God. And I just want to sit in silence for a few moments. And I've built this practice over a period of time because I'm trying to quiet myself down enough to let the angst and the worry and everything that's really below the surface bubble to the top. And this at first, this practice of slowing down and just focusing on my breathing and just sitting in silence and stillness. As I've done that over a period of time, I felt, there's a little bit of anxious thoughts that are below the surface that I didn't realize. My mind starts to wander upon maybe the stresses at work or the things that they're, and practically how I envision it is I just take all those thoughts and I just put them in a bucket. That's just what I think about in my mind. I take all the angst, all the worry, all the things that are below the surface while I'm sitting and being still and I'm quieting myself, but I'm remembering who God is. I'm remembering that He is on the throne. He is in control. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's gone before me. I'm taking all of that and just envisioning I'm putting all those thoughts in a bucket and I'm envisioning that God is taking that upon Himself. He's taking it away and He's bringing me His peace. He's bringing me His joy. He's bringing me His presence. He's meeting me there in that moment. I'm getting a right-sized view of God in that moment of stillness. As I'm in there, I'm just getting the right perspective. That's what I'm trying to do. I've got my little place that I go to meet with God. I've changed my pace. I've slowed myself down to meet with God, and then I'm getting a heavenly perspective on the matter. And as I look in, I take moments in that stillness to look in and I see, man, my shortcomings, my sin, my brokenness, and I bring them all before God and I boast in my weakness and I say, God, I need your help here. I'm sorry for the way I got angry at Taylor. I'm sorry for my pride and my arrogance and my shortcoming. God, would you reveal to me the log in my eye? Would you reveal to me the things in my life that need to change? And I bring them before my Heavenly Father because I know that He wants to meet me in there. And I am slowing myself down enough, not just to attain some revelation, some quick gold nuggets of like, I've got something for the day, now let me go. No, I'm slowing myself down enough for proximity and the presence of God. Because so often God can be pushed to the margins of our life. God can be the first thing to go, that we miss out on this because of the busyness, life comes and hits, the emails hit, the phone calls come, the text messages. And so often God can be pushed to the margins of our lives and the outskirts. But prayer is all about relationship. Prayer is all about knowing God and spending time in His presence and growing in greater depth with Him. And that's why that beautiful rhythm of being still and knowing God. And so I find myself in the morning sitting in a chair, spending about 5-10 minutes in stillness and silence and just getting a right-sized view. And then from there, I go and I have my Bible reading time. I often will journal as that's a really practical way to articulate my thoughts that are running through my head, because I've just learned that I can get scrambled in my thoughts and distracted. And I love to just write in a journal, man, how I'm feeling, the things that's going on in my life, and just again, put that before God. And these are just practical ways that I be still and remember God. But I just want to encourage you as you be still and remember God, man, would you know God and remember who you are in Him? As you quiet yourself down, you remember God. You remember who God is. And as you spend time with Him, you remember your value in Him. It's just such a beautiful thing that as you be still and remember God, you know Him, but you also remember who you are in Him. That's what I love about the secret place is it you remind yourself of, man, God, I'm so thankful. I often think about it. I pray the Lord's Prayer often in the morning is our Father in heaven. And just that simple revelation, what was so hard to get past, that I am God's son. And the value that He went through, that Jesus will come from heaven to earth and pay the price to put me in right standing with God, and just that the value that he's placed upon me, that's the beautiful intimacy that is found in spending time with God, that you get a right view of how God even sees you, that there is such beautiful depths found in the secret place. And I love that time in the secret place, because I can come before him again and surrender before him and say, God, would your will be done, not will. Any selfish ambition or anything, I lay that at your feet, and God, I want your will. And I've just continually find a greater depth and hunger cultivated for the secret places, the times with God in my life. And I don't want to just be someone who lives a life that wants to be really loud and wants to make a lot of noise, but no, I want to be someone who stills myself and is known by God. That I just feel this ringing in my heart so often right now, that there is a generation that want to be loud and get known, that they want to vocalize their opinions so quickly and then be known by others. That I just want to challenge you, man. Are you in love with the secret place? Have you fallen in love with obscurity? Because that's where God makes young men and women. Not just young men and women, but old men and women. Jesus often would model the lifestyle of going to lonely places to meet with God. And out of that place, he went and loved others. But so often we can buy the lie that we got to make a whole bunch of noise with our life and we want to be recognized by those around us. But God calls us to still ourselves and get alone in a lonely place and quiet ourselves down and know God. That would that be our cry, that, man, God, I want to slow myself down. I want to be still and I want to know you and I want to be known by you. And would that be the overflow of our life that would impact everything that we do in our life? And so I want to ask you, where do you need to still yourself? Where do you need to quiet down? Do you need to practically start in the morning going and sitting in stillness and quiet and spending time with God? But also, where throughout your days can you create moments of stillness? I want to encourage you, man, go to war with your screen time. Like practically try and minimize your screen time to as small amount as possible. Like you might need to put your phone to bed. Like once you come home, you've had your dinner, all that stuff, put your phone to bed. Like at 8 o'clock, put it on charge. You don't need that thing anymore. When you wake up in the morning, you don't need to go. The first thing you need to do is go and check how many new followers you got on Instagram, because you probably didn't get that many. If we're like the 99% of the world, put your phone to bed. It doesn't need to dominate your life. I want to encourage you to, even maybe as you're driving, use that as a space for stillness and silence. It's an area in my life that, man, I am so boring now when I drive, because I have so much noise in my life that probably 8 times out of 10, I just have complete silence in my car as I drive. Because I have little children in my world screaming and making a ton of noise. I've got a lot of people wanting things from me at my work and what I'm doing. And there's just so much going on. So the car's like a little sacred space between me and God if I just want to be still and remember God. Where are those spaces in your life? Maybe it's going for a walk. Like you don't always have to sit down and kind of cross your legs and wait. But maybe you just need to go on a walk, but no music, and just kind of hear the birds chirping and look at creation and just thank God and let your mind wander and bring everything before God. Where are the spaces in your life that you can be still and know God and remember who you are in God? I want to encourage you to ask the question of how often can I reorientate myself to God throughout the day? Don't just have a moment with God in the morning and then just forget about him throughout the rest of your day. How often can you reorientate yourself? And whether that's as you're about to go into a class, just pray a little prayer like, God, would you be with me as I go to this class? God, and maybe you're about to go to a meeting and just say, God, would you help me remind me that you are with me in this meeting or in this phone call that I'm about to make, or all the little things that you do as you pick up a brush to sweep the floor at your work or as you're serving people, whatever it might be, how often can you reorientate yourself to remind yourself that God is with you and you aren't just trying to go as a busy bee living life, but just remember, God, you're with me in the journey. God, you're with me in the everyday moments of my life. I believe God wants to meet you there. So I just want to continue to foster and challenge us. Let's live a life that falls in love with the secret place. We want a greater depth of relationship with God. And I am just so proud of so many people right now. As I look around the world, there is a hunger for God. There's a hunger for the things of God, and I just believe God wants to meet you in that desperation. So let's not settle for the comforts of this world, the things that want to lull us to sleep. I just want to challenge you, man. If you can binge your favorite show on Netflix, Outer Banks, whatever it might be, within a 24-hour period, what if you said no to that and you binged out on the presence of God? Like you said, hey, I'm going to, rather than spend 6 hours watching Netflix, I'm going to go spend 6 hours in prayer. I want to just challenge you that you can live a wild life for Jesus, and he wants to meet you there. Let's cultivate a love and a hunger for the things of God, not just the things of this world, and have a right-sized view of everything in the world. So we want to find a place. We want to change our pace. We want to get the right perspective, and we want to be still and remember God. And I hope this thought around prayer encouraged you. It would mean the world to me if you leave a review and a rating. Share this with your friends, and I will see you on the next episode of Narrative Society.